Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
Jesus, we love you so much. What an honor and privilege it is to worship him through music, through words, through posture. You know, we're free. Freedom. Jesus paid the price so we can walk in freedom, so that we can be whole in him, connected to the Father. And he delights when we put aside the stuff of the day, the list, the task, the chores, and just lean into him. It's a fueling station at times. When we lean into our beloved, there's a place, there's a connection in the spirit that is, it's so strong that nothing can penetrate through. No demonic power, no devil has the authority to bust through when we're bonded in Jesus, when we're connected in the spirit with him, and there's a strong arsenal that the enemy tries to use to keep us from resting in the secret place. And if you think about your day, you might recall the moments where you pressed in or leaned in to your beloved and connected, and maybe a little bit later you leaned in and there was a phone call that you had to take and you missed it. And as I was worshiping in the back tonight, I was leaning in and loving on Jesus and thanking him and just in love with him. And it's amazing how the distractions just fall away like dust on the floor. And, you know, years ago I had a vision. I saw somebody going up in an elevator, and they were going into heaven. And they were in this elevator, and they were pulling out. You couldn't take anything with. When you stepped over into, it was paradise. When you stepped over, there was like lint and buttons in this person's pockets. And it all got emptied out. You didn't carry anything in with you except for your heart and your desire and your devotion to him. And when that person stepped over, I saw them get clothed in a beautiful robe with beautiful diamonds and beautiful jewelry, and it was perfection. And I'm amazed at how sometimes we get off course so easily, not even meaning to get off course, chasing after the stuff, the lists. And I know there's always going to be a list, and I know there's always going to be stuff while we're on earth, but I believe tonight the Lord is trying to free some of us of, I'm actually seeing like an ankle with a chain on it of a list of stuff that has to get done. And you're dragging this around, and you know, your heart is pure, you want to worship, but I see the enemy using this as a strategy to keep you out of a deeper relationship and fellowship in the Lord. And you know, it happens to all of us. I'm not pointing anybody out. I'm just saying the season that we're in is glorious and wonderful if we can stop and catch the breath of heaven, catch the breath of the Spirit, and see what he's doing. And it's such a disconnect. You know, this week I've had such a disconnect with all kinds of crazy, stupid stuff that has tried to stop me from entering into a deep rest in God. And I was actually praying and asking the Lord, is this an attack? You know, because it's so bizarre. And what I saw, what he showed me was, I'm in between. And when you're in between, it's never fun, because you can't go back and you can't go forward because you're in between. And so it's an uncomfortableness. And it's not necessarily attack, although it could be. And so as I'm resting and fueling on him, he's showing me the kingdom here on earth, and the assignments that he's given us saints, the remnant that he wants to fulfill. And I see the enemy off in the distance trying to, you know, throw darts of accusations, darts of distractions. And I was seeing tonight how easy it is to get caught up in the distractions. And it is a discipline of the flesh. And some days it's easier than others, right? And so I'm not pointing anybody out. I'm trying to, one of the things that the Lord is wanting me to show is the strategic plan of the enemy and the glorious kingdom of God, and how there's a pressure in the spirit of he told me not to say that. There's a pressure in the spirit as things are advancing, and he's preparing the bride in this process. And so some of you are in between. You know, I never share when I'm fasting or what kind of fast I'm on, but I had just come off of a fast, and sometimes after a fast, you're in between. And I didn't realize that. And so as he was talking to me about this, there's things that I sat with him and he asked me to pray on, declare, while I was in this fasted state. And when you do that, there's always a benefit, there's always a result, and it's not often for us to know. When you are truly fasting, maybe you're fasting for the body of Christ or somebody's breakthrough or someone buying a house or whatever the Lord has you fasting for. See, because it comes to a point where you're not fasting for breakthrough anymore, you know, because you walk in breakthrough. You're fasting for what he wants. You realize who you are in him, and everything you has belongs to him, and there's a greater, and I'm not saying this to brag or anything, but I'm saying there's a greater place of authority, of advancement, and it's a single focus of what's he saying today. And you could be fasting without food, TV, whatever, it doesn't matter. It's what he's saying that matters. Don't mimic or don't copy somebody else's walk, because it'll be a dry and lonely road. Because if the anointing of God is on there, it is smooth like butter, cutting through a piece of white bread. And some of you are still old enough to know what that is. I don't even know if they do that anymore. Butter sandwiches. So one of the things the Lord reminded me of is we're in transition, and there's as we are going where he's telling us to go and doing what he is saying to do, it's a walk of faith. We don't know the outcome. We don't know. We see in part, we hear in part. And as I was praying earlier today, you know, I was seeing healings, I was seeing signs and wonders, and I was seeing breakthrough, and I was also seeing people being pushed through a doorway. And the doorway was the doorway of opportunity. And some people won't go unless they're pushed through. And I don't know why that is. And I don't know what that's about. But I see that, and I'm not just talking regular believers. I'm talking remnant believers. I'm talking people that are sold out to God. And as I saw people being pushed through this doorway, it almost was like as they started to make the momentum of going through, they were sucked through. And so what I find interesting about that is you can't control what God is doing because it's a work of the Spirit. And you can't wrap your mind on, well, what is this door? When God is doing it, we trust and obey and we walk in faith. And we try not to think about it in our natural mind. Now, we can recall scripture and we can recall dreams and prophetic words, but it's really the walk of the Spirit, which is higher than the walk on earth. And God is calling people up. He's awakening. There's some people in here that are kind of sleepy and drowsy, but your heart is pure, and you're like, I'm trying. God, it's like the doorway. If you can just get close to the door, you'll get sucked through into the blessings of the Lord. And God is calling us through this doorway. He's calling us to attention, to move in position. Be ready. And all you can take is yourself. You can help people get as close to the doorway as you can, but ultimately what gets you through is your heart. deep in the heart. And he knows the struggles that are taking place in our mind. What about my kid? What? He knows all that. But there comes a place, and we talked about it the last 2 weeks, you know, about dedication and consecration. There comes a place of belief in what God says, and his word becomes so powerful and so alive that if he tells us to turn right, we turn right, and we don't ask why. And he's trying to get us not to ask why, but to love him enough, to trust him enough. And as we position our hearts, who has not had a hurt in their life? Everybody's had a hurt in their life, right? One of the things the enemy likes to do is say, you're the only one. You're the only one. Who's ever struggled with addiction? People in here? Yeah. You're the only one. The enemy likes to single you out because he wants to devour you. If you can start thinking about yourself and your issues, he's got you. Now, I'm not saying let's not deal with our issues, but we have to deal with them with the Holy Spirit, our mentor, our coach, the one who leads and guides us in all truth. And so as we are positioning like a turning, I just see the doorway. And as we position ourselves and we turn or lean into our beloved, there's a whoosh, like a sucking that happens and we go through. Meanwhile, the enemy's trying to hold on to the little strongholds that you still have to get you to look back and go, oh yeah, I am a rat. Oh yeah, I do have that issue. When healing takes place, it takes place because God's word is true. It doesn't take place because you're good or you're bad. It takes place because of faith. And it takes place because of the power of the word. Now, the power of the word, life and death is in the power of the tongue. Choose life. Lord's talking to me about this today. The enemy loves when we come into agreement with, well, you know, I haven't worked in so many years. I can't start now. You know, I'm in the system. Whatever it is, the bondage of the enemy is his job is to keep us in bondage. Jesus resurrected from the cross. He came out of the grave, resurrected in power and authority that he says, hey, take this power and authority, use my name, and in me you can do these things and walk in boldness. And there's a shaking that's taking place where the enemy is he's actually afraid because it's coming. There's a suck through, like a coming across of going into this place where the enemy will no longer have a hold. The authority of the word of God is taking hold in the deepness of our hearts. And those little to and fro, oh, I don't have food today, or oh no, it's Lord, I'm hungry. Oh, go here. There's going to be a transformation in the way we think and speak as when this happens, when this opening takes place. And here's the cool thing. God is no respecter of person. I don't know how it's going to work. When you're in the Spirit, you don't know. He knows, and you kind of lean in and go, oh. And most of the time, you don't even share what you see because it's odd. Now, he has me proclaiming this because he wants people to come through. He's showing you a plan in the Spirit, and all he's asking for is, yes, Lord. And then there will be some that will say, I got to make my list. I have to see if it's okay because I'll need a sitter or a dog sitter. For all you dog people out there, you know, I don't know because I'm in the middle of painting my house. You know, that's it. God is looking for suddenlies and suddenlies in our heart. Yes, Lord. He's waking us up to deeper obedience. Did you hear that? He's waking us up to deeper obedience. The lazy Christian, the one, could it be you? You know, I'll do it tomorrow, Lord. He is asking us to be alert and in him, in love with him. And he's kind of tired of being the last place bridegroom. He is wanting his bride to come forth spotless and pure in resurrection power to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast off lepers, and to heal sick, all of it. He wants it. And he's believing that we're going to do it through him. And then there's the ones who hear about it and they go, oh yeah, I saw how that's done. I can do that too. The counterfeit. And we'll see some counterfeit stuff taking place, and some will go stray and they'll chase after the signs and wonders. But be careful. Exercise your discernment through use. Exercise your discernment through use. How do you do that? Lord, is this in your word? Lord, what are you saying about this? Holy Spirit, would you help me understand what's going on right now? It's through relationship. Just like the oil, you have to show up. You can't use somebody else's oil. And God is calling us into deeper understanding, almost like a shrewdness in the spirit. We were praying a couple weeks ago, and I saw the strangest thing. I saw an oil lamp, and the Lord reminded me, and it was really old, and it was beautiful, and then it was gone. You know, I was in the spirit. And the Lord reminded me of a house I used to own many years ago. It was called the Tuttle Mink Ranch. And so it was like 10 acres, and this guy traveled all over the world, and he'd bring back these artifacts. And I bought the property, and they had a museum in it. And it was all this weird stuff, and some of it was very creepy. But some of it was kind of cool. And I brought my cousin over to look at some of the antiques. And he saw the stuff, and he came back later, and he stole the oil lamp. And he replaced it with a different one. And I recognized instantly that the oil lamp was the counterfeit. Now, the Lord didn't have me confront him or anything, and I didn't. I just said, you're never coming back over again, to myself. And years later, I'm in the spirit, and I see this beautiful oil lamp, and the Lord reminds me of the counterfeit and how most people won't even recognize the counterfeit from the true. And the way you recognize it is by spending time in his presence. And most churches won't tell you to do that. They'll say, come, listen, go. Go do this, go do that. Come by oil, tried in the fire. Come by gold, tried in the fire. Come by, come. Don't come to church, come to him. Come to him. He wants us to commune with him in deep fellowship. And there's like a time in this season, and I think it's short, where we have to get this in order to get sucked through. Do you know what I'm talking about? Is this making sense to you? So I don't really have a message tonight. I'm just going by what the Lord's saying. And I feel like there's two things that he wants me to say. Don't grow weary in doing good, meaning keep showing up, keep spending time in my presence. Don't measure the outcome today, because you're getting oil, you're filling your lamp each time you are spending time. And if you're looking at the volume, you're missing it. You're missing it. Continue to spend time, rest in him, fellowship with him, and don't worry about anything else, the distractions, the bills. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. And what he means by that is, it's so easy to do the second thing first. It's just the easier way, until you discipline that muscle, the flesh muscle, or the willpower to only you, Jesus. What do you have today? Total submission. It's a simple message. So I feel like we're going to just take a few minutes. I feel like this is what the Lord is saying. Some of you are pursuing him with all you have, and you're doing it through your head, but this is a spiritual connection. And I feel like what he wants is for us just to close our eyes, rest in him. And what I mean by that is just call on his name. Oh, Jesus, I love you so much. Just relate with him. Just spend a few minutes. Now, I can see some people are leaving their burdens with him, You know, some of you picked up stuff that you didn't mean to. I see you putting that down and saying, oh, Jesus, I'm choosing you. You're right. I picked it up again. I'm sorry. I can see others clearing their schedule and saying, you know what? It's been too long. I'm going away with my beloved. And I can see oil pouring into others. Some of it is anointing. Some of it is fuel. Some of it is food. I just saw the enemy get his marching orders. He's been kicked out. One of you just took authority over the devil. The devil was messing with your mind. I see a couple people in here who are struggling with children. Some of them are older children, and some of them are younger. I think they're grandkids. But what I see is the enemy's tormenting you with the what ifs. And right now I break that in the spirit. I command that devil to go in Jesus' name and never return. Worry, go in the name of Jesus. Prince of Peace, come. Thank you, Lord. I saw a couple people in here connect in a like almost like in a cementing way, like you've found a place in God that you've been searching for, and you've been running so much that it's been really hard for you. And I heard the Lord say, use your car time and fellowship with Him. I just heard the Lord say, for some of you, there's a financial struggle going on, and I hear Him saying, thank me for the blessing, thank me for the breakthrough. And that's not a quiet thank you, that's thank you, Jesus, that all my bills are paid. Thank you, Jesus, that I have more than enough. Thank you, Jesus, that you are full of abundance, and you always lead me in abundance.
So, I closed my eyes and just entered in for a minute, and I had this really neat picture. And it was, some of you might remember in school at the library, they'd have these little, it's like a desk, but it had walls, so like a whole bunch of them in a row. So even though there was a person next to you, you were separated. And I felt like I stepped into an aloneness in a library, and there's a heavenly library. I don't know if you know that, but there is. And what I saw was this aloneness in this little cubbyhole, and a book open, and a light went boom, and it was like the light of Revelation. And then I was reminded in college we had this little room. If you're claustrophobic, you would not like it. It was so tiny. But it was called a little study room, and it was not much bigger than maybe two people could sit in there, maybe, and had this little desk, a little chair, and nothing else. And you could go hide in there for hours if you wanted to, you know, if you had a loud roommate or if there was a party, you could just go hide in there. You couldn't hear what was going outside. And I just want to say that if you have had, I know this is going to sound strange to some people, but if you've had a fear of the Word of God, like you've had a fear of really being able to study, or feeling like God won't talk to me, or, you know, I used to see things through the Word, but I'm not getting it now. Some people really struggle with this, and I don't hear it talked about a lot. But if you have that, one of the things that that you do is start really small. And this is going to sound really small, but start with just take like a chapter and just read slow. Like, don't try to, you know, rip through it and read a whole bunch. Start slow and go just kind of verse by verse, and sooner or later a verse will kind of go ping and then stop. Don't just blast through like, I'm going to get this done. You know, that's a disorder of the flesh. Get her done. But when you stop at a verse that gives you a little, what is that? There's two things you can do. One is God may just be talking to you. Just sit there and think about it. Just relax and rest. And what happens is when you sow that, that's actually a thing you sow, it is multiplied back to you. So when you spend a little bit of time, and even if you're terrible at it, don't worry about that. God, listen, this is no contest. Different people in the body have different giftings, and some people have a study anointing, and they can study for 16 hours a day, and that's their favorite thing to do. And they are specially called. They have a special calling, usually to a special kind of teaching, but the rest of us don't have that, right? So what happens is, when you spend a teeny little bit of time in the Word, it's like a seed that goes in you, and it grows, and it's a little easier the next time. And then it's a little easier the next time. And what happens is, over time, you become addicted to hearing from God through the Word itself. And that light of revelation, that light represents the revelation shining on the Word, and suddenly everything's open. Because a spirit of wisdom and revelation attends to the Word. I said a spirit of wisdom and revelation attends to the Word. And so if you're just, now I love studying the Word with my head too. If I find a verse like that, I'll always stop the bus. I'll go and look at all the meanings behind all the little words in it. Because sometimes it means a whole bunch of things that I might not have caught, right, if I just read it. But a lot of times I'll just stop there, sit and think about it. And is this okay?
Mm-hmm.
For years, God has been trying to cause me to pull back and go deeper. Pull back from the things of the world and go deeper. By the things of the world, I mean serving Him, getting it done, you know, all the admin that has to be done. There's a ton of work to be in the ministry. People think you just stand up here. It's not what you do. This is the smallest thing you do is stand up here. There's all this work you have to do. And it takes a lot of time, and it can become this pressure. And then you have people saying, can I have a call? 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 And you get to a point where you're like, no, you can't have a call. You know? But for years, God told me, this is a little weird, but I had a list of things that had to be done. It's huge, and it never seems to go away. It just morphs. You know, some things get done, and some things get added. And I would carry this pressure sometimes. And one day, God said to me, I don't want you to sit at the feet of your Excel spreadsheet. Uh-oh. And so what He did was, over the years, He gradually helped me get better and better at not doing all that stuff, which was very hard for me. If you are an accomplishment person, you know, that is hard on your flesh. You want to get it done, you know. You want to do it right. Get it done. Check it off. But over the years, He began to take more and more away. Not that it wasn't still there to be done, right? It's still there to be done. It doesn't go away. But what He began to do is say, I want you to stop all that and just spend time in Me. And your flesh is going, but, you know. If you look at our schedule this year, we have a lot of retreats. Retreats are a lot of work. They're a lot of prep, right? So, you know, we have a lot of meetings. So there's just a lot that needs to be done. And right now I'm at home doing donation letters. And what's that when that's done? Okay, we got to do the taxes. So it's like, that doesn't go away just because, you know, you don't like me doing it. I got to do it. So there's this pressure, right, in the flesh. But God's saying, put that aside. And for years, it has taken some years, so don't condemn yourself if you don't get this right away. But over time, you get better and better at saying back burner. And what He said to me is, He said, I want you to get up. When you get up, you know, I'm a slow waker up. He said, then, you know, wake up. okay, spend a little time, wake up, going, talk in Italy, wake up, you know, because it will make no sense. Then I want you to ask me, how long do I want you to pray? So I'll sit with him, then I'll say, how long do you want me to pray? He'll give me a certain amount of time. Sometimes it's quite long. I sit there and pray till it's done. I have a timer, clink, and I pray till it's done. Sometimes it's long. And then I go and do my study. I do my reading, and I do my study, and I do my meditating, and then I sit and listen. So it's not uncommon. I'm not saying you guys have to do this. I'm not saying that. I'm trying to tell a story. It's not uncommon for that to be 4 or 5 hours. And I was saying, now how is all this other going to get done? But he didn't want to answer that. He just wanted me to obey him. And so over time, as I started to do this, it changed my life. Now, I've always spent time with him. Don't get me wrong. I have for years and years and years. I love spending. He's my favorite thing. He is my favorite person. I'd rather spend time with him than anybody. So we've always had lots of wonderful times together. But he said to me, I want you to have 2 priorities. One is me and time spent in me. And the other is share the good news in whatever way that takes, which may, by the way, include doing the taxes. Filing the 990 that has to be filed. So I was like, not figuring it out in the flesh, but here's what begins to happen. This becomes who you are. Being with him becomes who you are, right? And out of that begins to flow all these other things, not in the order you would have done them, not the way you would have done them, but God just says, okay, today let's go do this. And he does it. He does it through you. And I was like disturbed. I said, well, I thought you wanted me to make these videos and you wanted me to write. You want me to do, you know, I've got it like all these things that I know that he's told me to do. And yet here he's telling me, don't do them. You know, do them, but don't do them. It's like go into all the world, preach the gospel, but don't go until you've received the power from on high. Yeah. Go, but don't go. Same thing. Like, okay, explain it to me, Lord, because I'm not getting it. The stuff needs to be done. He's like, I didn't say we wouldn't do it, but I don't want you doing it for me. I want to do it with you and through you. And so what I notice is the more you sow, you know, there's a scripture that says, he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. Well, that's not just talking about sin, it's talking about flesh. Come on, it's talking about accomplishing things through the flesh as well. But he who sows to the Spirit reaps life. When you go into the Word and when you sit with the Lord and your flesh is screaming, I don't have to, I've heard this. And you sow it, it begins to grow something in your life. And it becomes who you are. And then life is so amazing because when you go into prayer, you go so deep instantly. You know, you don't have to press in for 4 hours to go deep. You're just deep. Because that's now where you live. And by the way, the stuff you have to do gets done better and faster and makes a lot more sense. I don't know if I'm making any sense to you, but this has changed my life. And so it becomes a life lived in him. And there's never stress because you don't have to do anything. You know, all that stuff that was pressuring me because I felt like I was letting him down if I didn't finish it. Right. Come on. I felt like I was failing him because I didn't do all this stuff that I thought he was telling me to do. He was never telling me to do it. He was telling me, we're going to do it, you and me. I'm going to do it through you by the anointing. Stop trying to do it. Does that make sense? And so as that started to really take root, it started to really take a deep root. It's changed everything for me because I don't have to carry it. And he actually, there's a phrase God uses with me a lot, and I'm going to give it to you. Give yourself permission, because sometimes God is telling us to do something or not do something, but we have these rigid ideas of what we think he expects. And so we are demanding perfection and accomplishment and all this stuff that he's saying, man, I wish you'd let go of that. So give yourself permission to let go of some of it and just do it by the Spirit. And by the way, those of you who are facing a deadline, someone's facing a deadline with something to do, and someone's facing a deadline with a bill to pay. God, do you ever notice God's deadlines are not the earthly deadlines? It may have a certain deadline on a piece of paper, but I've seen God move that deadline, make it like it never existed. So when we live in Him, He moves our deadlines. He moves things around for us. And when you are married to Him, there's a relationship God desires with His kids. To grow up in all things into Him, to grow up into this oneness. He's desiring a much greater and more profound relationship. And I'm going to tell you, there's a place He wants us to live, and it's an ever-increasing, ever-growing, ever-going deeper. As long as we live, hopefully, we're ever going deeper in that. And what I'm telling you is there is a place in Him where there is such favor. There's just favor where it is like you're kind of married. Can I say it that way? And He goes to bat for you. Someone does you dirty, and He just deals with them. You know, because you got to keep your heart right, right? You pray for them, but He deals with them. It's not your problem. He fights your battles. So there's this place that God is calling us. I think this is, hopefully, I'm getting at what Lori was talking about, but it's a place of consecration that's so great. Can I just mention the library in heaven? I went to, when I was in Bible school, they gave me a really weird assignment. And to be honest, I didn't like it. Now, I was already very prophetic. I heard God pretty clear, you know, kind of knew. I'd been talking to God for years, listening for years. But the assignment was to take a specific piece of scripture, a specific verse, and hear from God about that and write a paper on it. Not just write what you think. They wanted you to go home and hear from God about that verse. And the reason that bothered me was I thought, well, I listen to God talk about what He wants to talk. Who am I to tell Him what to talk to me about? So I put it off and I put it off and I put it off. And the night before the thing, I went to God and said, listen, I got to have a paper. I need you to talk to me about this. And instantly, you know what? He wanted to talk to me about it. And He was trying to get it across to me. It's okay to go to Him and say, talk to me about this. That's okay. Hello, give myself permission. Immediately, the scripture was in Ephesians 1. And I was asking about Ephesians 1, 1, and 1, 2. And I didn't want to, but that was my assignment. So I said, I got to have something for class tomorrow, and I have to write it. And they'll know if it's not from you. They were of the Spirit. They would know if it wasn't from God. You cannot make this stuff up. Immediately, He takes me, and I see this doorway, and it says the room of truth over the top. And I go in, and there's this amazing library. And in this library, you know how in the library there's these stacks, these shelves, they call them stacks, right? At least in college, that's what they call them. These shelves, tall shelves, and they go on and on. And when I went into this room, every shelf had books, and the titles of the books were like this, Ephesians 1:1, Ephesians 1:2, a whole book. Ephesians 1:3. Every verse had an entire book written about it in this library, in this room of truth. There's so much we don't know. There's so much we have not begun to tap into. And there is a library in heaven, so the idea of going and shutting yourself away, and instead of looking sideways to people, what people think and say, and what so-and-so has written, and some of them are brilliant, right? And I do read their stuff and I do listen to messages. But there's a time when we come and shut away in the Spirit of God alone in that study room where there is no one else. And we open the book and we sit with God and the light from heaven, boom, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, which is the Holy Spirit, right? That's one of His manifestations. And He loves to shine the light of revelation, and that's a whole different thing than head knowledge. It's a whole different thing when He shines the light on it. Amen?
Amen.
Okay.
Go. So did He then did He show you the whole book, or did He just like give you pieces of that?
What He was showing me was kind of how it works. And that this is a place He desires. It's these things you see in heaven. may be literal, but sometimes they're parables. And it's to teach you, hey, this is a place you can come where there's always going to be more than you, you know. Because people, here's the problem with the body. We think we know so much. We don't know diddle. I mean, the best among us know so very little. And you see people go around like, you know, I've got it together. No, you don't. Because we just have bits and pieces. And I think part of the theme of what God was trying to show me is that this is all available. It's like the library in your town. The vastness of the knowledge that is available to us just through Google. I mean, anything you want to learn. I remember when I was in my field many years ago, you had to fight to get a manual on certain subjects. Now they're all online. You know, obscure, hidden, technical stuff. It's all there. It's all posted. Somebody posted it. And so what God is saying is there's this vast, amazing amount of stuff available to all of us who are born again. Because we're the only ones that have access to heaven. Because that's where citizenship is. And there's a real library. Actually, there's more than one. But there's real places in heaven where we can go to learn. I could go on and on, but the basic idea is God has things for each of us, and he'll teach you what he isn't teaching me. He'll when you have your time with him and you devote yourself, you know, people want God to just, you know, when we move too fast, here's the problem with our culture. We move so fast and we get so used to get her done, get it, go here, do this, do that. Most of it is not even important, the honest truth is. A lot of what I was doing was not what God was doing. It seemed important, you know, it seemed important to me. And really, though, once I slowed down enough, and I will be honest, it took me years to slow down this much. I mean, it took me a long time, because each year he would take more away. He'd take more away. That seemed so important. But the idea of it is, when you slow down enough, and you sit still enough, and you meditate deep enough, God will give you heaven. He will show you heaven. He wants to. Heaven is ours. It belongs to us by covenant right. Heaven should be more real to us than earth is. And God desires to take us on tours. Now, this is out there, but I'm just going to tell you, God desires for you to see there's saints in heaven that lived on this earth before us, that accomplished things, and we're like, how did they do that? Guess where they are? They're part of the great cloud of witnesses. There's things God will not withhold from us, but he has to have our attention. And I used to, when I worked full-time, it was hard to get my, you know, I worked full-time, was married, and was very busy at church. So to be really honest, my time with God was either in the car coming and going, or it was in a conference room at lunch, or in the car at lunch. You know, you had to really fight for your time with God, and I get that. If you have kids, if you have a busy life, I get it. But what God desires is for us to train our flesh until the flesh, you know, you can make your flesh smaller and smaller. You can make it obey until it's like, oh, okay, we're not doing that now. Okay, we can train it to take the back seat and shut up. But it has to be trained for a while. You have to work at it, and you have to feed your spirit. And when you do that, what happens is you learn to do what Jesus was doing. Jesus knew how to go up into the mountains where no one else was before the day, still himself, and go into the Spirit. And where is the Spirit? It's in you. It's your spirit man. And connect that with the Father by the Holy Ghost, and now heaven is open. And so it'll start small. It might start with God telling you one little thing or one little revelation. Listen, don't despise the day of small things. That's a big deal, right? Because you won't walk in and he talks to you for an hour the first time. You couldn't take it. But when you come in and he gives you a little bit here and a little bit there and a little piece, and you're like, oh, I get it. Wow, God spoke to me. Or, hey, I see this in the scripture. Or, you know, and then you hear it everywhere you go. God's confirming to you. He's training you. Yes, that was me. Good girl. Good boy. Good job. He's training you. Oh, that was God. Oh, that was God that said to turn right. Oh, that was God that said, go talk to that lady with the red shirt. Oh, that was God. Because at first we're not sure. But as you sow to that, as you sow to the Spirit, he begins to open it. He begins to train you until it's normal to you to live in the Spirit. Jesus did it. And some people say, well, don't do that. That's not safe. Well, I will agree with this. Don't do that until you're pretty steeped in the Word, or you won't know what's what. You won't know what Spirit's what. You won't know. There's people that come and they're so deceived because they tried to be spiritual without knowing the Word, and they're so goofed up. And so I can see why people say, don't do that. Know the Word. That's how you will know the truth. That's how you'll know right from wrong in the Spirit. Right?
Yeah.
It's because the Word is what gives you discernment. The Word is.
Yeah.
Because Satan will come and whisper something that's half truth. Did it to Jesus. If you're really the Son of God. Right? Well, it's a fine sounding argument. Oh, okay, we'll do that. But if you really know the Word, that doesn't sound right. Something about that isn't right. Something in you will have a check. And it's usually the Holy Spirit will raise a scripture that goes, no, ding, ding, ding. And you still smile at the person and be nice, but you're going, nope, that's not right.
Yeah.
Not going there. Okay?
Yes.
And so as we train our senses to know good from evil, spiritually speaking, then we can discern the Holy Spirit. There's people that have in, because of their family history, okay, I'm just going there, there was things involved that were spiritual, but they weren't Holy Spirit. And so you're hearing sometimes and seeing things that are not from the Holy Spirit, and it's bringing confusion to you. Okay? And one of the ways you know it ain't the Holy Ghost is when it brings confusion. Because when it's the Holy Ghost, usually there's, that's what I thought you were saying to me. It's peace. There's a peace that comes. There's a witness. It's called an inner witness where you have, yeah, that's God. Right? And so that's not, you know, that doesn't happen the first year you're born again, but as you walk with God and you keep walking with God and you keep spending time in the Word, what happens is God begins to interact with you. And God is Spirit. The Bible says He is Spirit. So how can He interact with you but by the Spirit? How can He talk to you but by the Spirit? So I think God really is encouraging us to become truly a people of God. Not just a people that kind of met Him in church and kind of said a little prayer and, you know, He's who we go to when we want some help. We want somebody to bail us out of another jam. He's asking His body to move into the bride relationship, into the intimacy of knowing Him in the private chambers. You know, a bride knows her husband like nobody else, right? There's nobody that knows a husband like his wife. And we were made for that. You know, I won't go into all the details, but you know, there's an interesting scripture, and a lot of women don't like this scripture, but it says the woman was made for the man, not man for the woman. Now, in the natural, people turn that into this whole physical, natural thing, and I don't deny that that's probably part of it, but the big part of it is talking about the bride was made for Him. We were made for Him. Our function should be for Him, not our deal, and He comes and helps us. We were created for Him to meet His need, to meet every need He has. Yes, He has needs. Yes, He has desires. He has things He longs to do in the earth, and He can't do it without a bride. He has things He's longing to do, and He can't do it with the bride He's got right now. Did you know that? And so He's yearning and longing for a people who will put everything else on the back burner and say, I'm here. I'm not anything I got. I don't have anything to offer you. But you got me. But such as it is, here I am. Anything you want. Any way you want to do it. I don't care how low it is. I don't care how tiny it is. I don't care how minuscule it is in the eyes of the world. I don't care. I don't care if I don't preach. I don't care if nobody knows my name. I don't care. I'm yours, and I'm here. You want to do something, I'm here. That's a bride.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. You can download more messages at our store from spiritofgodworldwide.com.